He is a man who made a foolish vow, and as a result, his daughter was sacrificed. He's an impulsive guy, but I want to read a little bit about him. That, just three verses. It would be good if you read all the way through verse 11 on your own sometime to just read it in its entirety. But for time's sake, I just want to read three. Now, Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a valiant warrior. Now, the word valiant there, the Hebrew word, literally means hero. It's translated valiant here, but in every other place that the Hebrews use that word, it is hero. That Jephthah was a hero. He was a valiant warrior, but he was the son of a harlot. That means that his father had some indiscretions with another woman, and as a result, he was born. And this woman was a prostitute. And he was the result of that sin. And Gilead's wife bore him sons. And when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Jephthah out and said to him, "You shall not have an inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman." He is being rejected by his family and ostracized by his family. It's bad enough that he is what the Bible would call illegitimate, but he is now rejected and ostracized by the very people that ought to embrace him. So Jephthah fled from his brothers and lived in the land of Tob. I'm sure glad I didn't live in the land. Who would want to live in Tob? Where are you from? I'm from Tob. Really? And worthless fellows gathered themselves about Jephthah, and they went out with him. Says here that he went to the land of Tob, where he became what we would call in our modern vernacular, he became a gang leader. That's literally what he became. And he gathered together worthless fellows. He became their leader. To me, Jephthah's gang reveals the part of the ministry that the church is missing. He built an army out of rejects, is what he did. Worthless fellows. Now, I want to show you, this is the pattern of the Bible. When David had to flee Saul, he went down to Adullam's cave. And it said, there was gathered to him there those who were in debt, those who were distressed, and those who were discontent. And out of those people, he raised up a mighty army. They were social rejects. They were in debt. They were in distress. They were mad. They were discontent. They were angry. And yet out of them, and then Jesus had his own. Adullam came, his ragtag group. He didn't go amongst the finest. He went to Galilee to look for his followers. That would be like going to the hills of Kentucky. No, I'm serious. In that day, it was a mountainous country, it was a hill country. They were very, they were nuts. And the Lord went around and he grabbed unschooled, ordinary people who didn't have anything of real renown about them except that they needed a Savior. He made Matthew the tax collector. And he also had Simon the zealot. Now, how many know that would be interesting to have a zealot and a tax collector in the same group? Zealots killed tax collectors. That's why they were zealots, because they were tax collectors. People of their own nation selling their services for profit and selling out their people for profit. And yet Jesus had both of them in his group. That would be like having a Ku Klux Klan member and a Black Panther all in the same group. Do you understand? Having one, well, he wouldn't have had that, but. Well, no, they were in sin when he met him. They had to change. That'd be like someone, Jesus coming in our day and having somebody who was pro-life and somebody who was pro-choice, both in the same group. And then out of both of them, transforming them into somebody who was able to change a world. There is something powerful about being a chosen reject. Chosen by God, rejected by men.
Yeah.
Rejection tastes like bile in our gut. The experience can make us better or can make us bitter. I can't help wonder if we have forsaken some of God's finest people because they failed and came under attack. They could bring us a voice from the grave. They could, if we allow them, express the truth that there is life after death. And I want to tell you, I don't know if any of you were down at the Rick Joyner conference, but Jim Baker came back, and it was the most powerful evening of the whole conference. And what he did was he was a voice from the grave. He was letting everybody know there's life after death. Everything in my life was killed. But God has raised me up. I can tell you, in the midst of betrayal, there is life after death. What is it that God is you're going through that has a death experience that God wants to make sure you get back up? He'll raise you up. And you don't have to get bitter. You can get better. There won't even be the smell of smoke on your life. Dead circumstances cannot hold down the body of someone who has been chosen by God. Satan can knock you down, but he can't keep you down. The only one that can keep you down is you. Thank God for Jephthah, who reminds us that if we're put out to pasture by closed minds, and that's what he was done, he had to flee. They came back and made him king. If he was put out to pasture by closed minds who decided that his dry bones couldn't live, that there is a God who's still in the business of recycling human lives. We run into situations, we say, man, can these bones live? And the answer to that is yes. They are dry, but we serve a God who can recycle them. Can I tell you? I'm a recycled human being. I wasn't very good on the first cycle. Was a little bit better on the second cycle. But now, 560,000 cycles later, I'm pretty nice. Because I failed and God had to recycle. I said, Lord, I failed again. He says, I know, but you're going to have to get recycled. I think I'll just sit down. He said, no, go through the recycling, son. Revival must start in the trash can of our churches and community. Because in ignorance and religious pride, we have discarded what God has regarded, and we can't afford to do that anymore. I'm afraid we have killed some of our heroes because we were looking for somebody who was superhuman and perfect. And the only place I have found that is in comic books. It's the only place that I find superhuman, except for Jesus himself, and perfect, is in comic book. It's time for us to redefine and redirect our gaze to find the heroes of God who are among us. We must never forget that God purposely chooses misplaced and rejected people. And can I tell you, he may be looking in your direction. Lancaster County needs some heroes. People who aren't afraid of getting shot at, and shot at you will get. You will fall because of somebody else. You will fall because of the enemy, and you will fall because of your own sinfulness. And if you're afraid of falling, you're never going to make progress in the kingdom of God. But even as you fall, you can get back up. We need heroes. We do. Lancaster County needs some heroes who will rise up, who will take risks, who will take ridicule, who will open their lives to the scrutiny of others. And some people will be upset and some people will be encouraged, but that's not your burden. Your burden is to do something for God. Let's stand together. What I want to do in closing today is I want to ask you, and you got to think seriously about this. God's in the business of gathering some worthless people, worthless fellows, which I am one. I'm not as worthless because, like I said, I'm on the 560,000 cycle. But God is in the business. Today, He's wanting to prick your heart, say to you, as a young person, David was 15 when God chose him. 15. Uzziah was 16 when God chose him. 16. But if you're wanting, you're saying, Lord, I want to be a hero of the faith. If there was a Hebrews 11 written in my generation, I'd like to see my name there. Now, knowing that I'm going to ask you to indicate that by the raising of your hands in a minute, but knowing as soon as you do, your bullseye gets bigger. The enemy says, he wants to be a what? All right. Well, we had, three demons? A whole legion over on him. Let's see just how heroic he will be. But I want you to know your confidence is not in him, but in him. Said, Lord, I stepped out there on the water. Only you're going to keep me from sinking. The Lord says, I can do it. Keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. So if you're wanting, and I promise you, we need heroes. And I want you to just raise your hand wherever you're at. Say, I want to be a hero. Father, I pray very sincerely and seriously for all those who have raised their hands. Immediately, Lord, their bullseye got bigger. But Lord, they're going to find out in the midst of their struggle to become a hero in this generation that you are bigger than that bullseye. You're bigger than the enemy. You're bigger than brothers and sisters who mean well. You're bigger than religious pride. You are big. Lord, and I pray that out of this group today, people who move forward and trip up and fall, Lord, that you allow them to rise again. Lord, I pray that you would put resiliency in their hearts. And no matter how many times they fail, no matter how many times they get knocked down, they're going to become mighty in battle. That they're going to move from weakness to strength. That they are going to quench fires. They are going to shut the mouths of lions. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord. Minister to the hearts of these people here today. Raise up within them a believable hero. A hero who is willing to risk and take chance for you and for others. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Pastor, I'm just going to turn it back over to you.
Okay, we're going to just close. I'm going to allow the people to get ready for the meal, and we'll have a time when if you want to come for prayer, we'd like to offer ministry to you, especially in the area of healing. And if you've been having some difficulty and you want us to pray specifically for an area where you've been facing some trials, like Jim was talking about, that you'd like some healing in that, please come. So we'll pray for you. We'll spend some time in ministry. I want to take down the first two rows of seats and allow room for ministry. Let me just pray and then you can we can take a break. If you'll just remain, you can talk and just quietly in the back. But while we're ministering to people, if you'll remain, at a fairly calm calm pace. I'd appreciate it. All right, let's pray. Thank you, God. God, we want to thank you this morning for the word that you gave us. Lord, we also pray that you would fill us with your blessing and your courage, Lord God, as we look ahead to see what's coming. Also, God, as we spend this day, help us to fellowship in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Please come if you want ministry. And Joel, if you will put a disc on, please.